This is probably one of the signature texts in the New Testament, in which Jesus has been teaching, he's been preaching, and now he calls people to make a decision. You've seen what I have done, you've heard my message of the kingdom, and now it's time to make a choice. Now it's time to decide. Jesus is offering people a challenge. Now, when we hear this term, this call to take up our cross and follow after Jesus, maybe the images that come to our mind are around sacrifice or suffering. But truly what Jesus is saying is, I'm now calling upon you to make a decision to fully trust, to fully entrust your lives to God just as I have done. Jesus says, I have entrusted myself to God completely. I know where I'm going. And now I'm inviting you to come with me in this. I'm calling on you to follow me. And of course, if we know anything about crosses, and we know anything about Jesus, there is something inside of us that is going to resist this invitation. We're going to resist it with maybe a lot of our strength. Resistance to completely trusting God is something that comes, unfortunately, very natural to us, doesn't it? And I want to invite you to think about that with the image of clenched fists. That when we resist trusting God completely, we do so with clenched fists. In his book, With Open Hands, Henry Nouwen tells the story about an elderly woman brought into a psychiatric center who was wild and swinging at everything in sight. She was frightening everyone so much that they had to remove everything from her, and they had to bring two people to come and try to restrain her, and she had her hands tightly gripped, and it took two people to open her hands and to find, once they pried them open, to find one small coin that she had been clutching tightly and would not give up. And it was as though she believed that she would lose her very self if she were to give up that coin. If they deprived her of her last possession, she would have nothing more. She would be nothing more. That was her greatest fear. What is your greatest fear? What is it that you find yourself clutching to? If you were to open up your clenched fists, what would you find inside it? Through this teaching series this fall, we've come this far in the journey. We've admitted that life isn't going to turn out the way that we want to, no matter how hard we try. We can't make life turn out the way we want. And in fact, the harder we work at it, the worse things get. We made that admission. It was very much like John just shared in his testimony that God had finally given him, at the bottom of his experience in jail, he'd given him the gift of desperation. This journey always begins with that kind of desperation. Jesus is now inviting people to ask, to consider, are you desperate enough to unclench your fists and to follow me? There's an admission, and then there's a willingness to begin to believe that there is someone that has the power to set things right. So we admit that we can't do it, no matter how hard we've tried, but we do acknowledge that there's someone who can do it. We've admitted, and we've started to believe, and now Jesus says it's time to choose, to make a decision, to open up our clenched fists and to give up our last coin. This is an incredibly painful decision. It's probably why we talk about it as the third thing. Jesus, as it were, mentions it as the first. If you're going to be my disciple, Jesus says, deny yourself. Renounce yourself. Deny yourself. Renounce yourself. What does it feel like to renounce yourself? Simply put, I think it feels like dying. It feels like dying. To say no to myself feels like a little death. To say no to my will, to say no to what I want, to say no to doing things my way, to say no to every effort that I have applied to myself to make life work the way I want it to, and to say no to that and to lay that down, to give that up, to open my clenched fence, it feels like dying. And of course, it is. It is a kind of dying. That's why Jesus speaks about it in terms of a cross. It is dying to a made-up image of myself. It's dying to what I think makes me valuable and important in the eyes of others. It's a dying to the belief that if I do all the right things, but especially if I don't do any of the wrong things, then I can finally make life work the way I want it to. I can finally be happy. I could be successful. Everything can turn out the way that I want. And this is what I've meant in the last couple of weeks when I talk about a personal salvation project. A personal salvation project is that which we do even if we don't realize that we're doing it, to try and save ourselves, to make life work out the way we want it to. And the real challenge is that we all do it. We all have something other than of a complete and full trust in God that we go to. But usually we find a good way to disguise it. We kind of put it out of our mind's eye. We don't see it, but we know that we reach for it over and over again. It's like we're walking around with our fists clenched, and we've been gripping them so tight for so long that we've forgotten that we're actually doing it. And we actually maybe even forget what's in our fist. When I sit down by myself and I try to quiet my mind, when I try to imagine my clenched fist and I slowly open it, you know what I find? I find a to-do list. I have a to-do list. And when I see it, I'm reminded of how much I still believe that if I just write everything down and get everything on that to-do list done, if I pay every bill, organize every part of my life, plan everything out to the finest detail, if I just take care of everything on my to-do list, then I'll be free. Then I'll be happy. Then I'll be successful. Then I'll have everything just the way I want it to be. And I'll be able to prove that I'm a productive person. I'll be able to prove to myself and everybody else that I'm useful, that I matter, that I'm worth having around. That's what's in my hand, a to-do list. Now, it sounds silly, of course. And of course, when I stop to think about it, if you had something similar to a to-do list, you know. What's the one true thing about to-do lists? You never finish them. You never, ever finish them, right? There's always more things added to the to-do list. When I open my hand and I see that to-do list again, when I stop to think about it, I know that unconsciously, this is where I found my value. But yet, if I'm conscious about it, I know that my value to God is not based on any to-do list. Consciously, I understand, because I've had the benefit of being in church for most of my life. I've heard about the love of God. I've heard the gospel. I've heard the invitation. I've responded to it. I know that my life isn't based on what I do. And yet, Imagine that. Once again, a clenched fist, going through the day, not even thinking about it, sort of sleepwalking, really. What do you do in your life that you sleepwalk through, that you've done it so many times, you don't even think about it anymore? That's why Jesus has to wake us up. That's why Jesus here in Matthew chapter 8 says, okay, it's time. You've heard me. You've been with me. You've seen me. You've been following me along now up to this point. Now the question is, are you ready to make a choice? And perhaps the hardest thing, I'm now speaking to people who've never made the choice before, speaking to people who would identify themselves as Christians, as followers of Jesus, the hardest part about this is that you have to make it again. In fact, you have to make it over and over again. The hardest part of dying to ourselves is that we have to do so repeatedly. Jesus does not say, anybody who would follow me, renounce yourself, take up your cross, and come on to Calvary with me and die. He doesn't invite us all to go up onto Calvary with him. Only Jesus is going to go to Calvary. His one-time death is what sets all of us free once and for all. But to experience the freedom he's offering, we have to choose to take up our crosses and not just go and die with him, but to follow him. What's that mean? It means we actually have to live. We have to live for him. Dying for him would be easy, wouldn't it? It'd be easy to make this decision one time and then die a martyr's death. He doesn't give us that. He says, no, I'm actually calling you to live for me. To live for me day in and day out. To live in a continuous work of trust. To make this choice again and again, day after day, one day at a time. And sometimes, for people who know that phrase, one day at a time, they recognize that it's actually moment by moment. When you have an opportunity to meet John and hear about his coffee, ask him. Ask him how often he, throughout the day, makes the choice to take up his cross and to follow after Jesus. Ask him what that feels like for him. Perhaps if you want to, don't have to, but we all wear the name tags, right, so that we can greet each other by name. And you can ask the person next to you, would you be willing to share with me? When was the last time you consciously said, okay, I'm going to unclench my fist around this thing I've been holding on to, and I'm going to choose to take up my cross and follow Jesus instead. When was the last time you did that? To make this choice is something that the Apostle Paul calls being a living sacrifice. He calls it being a living sacrifice, but my friend Karen says, the problem with being a living sacrifice is that I'm always trying to crawl off the altar. Can you identify with that? Can I identify with saying, I really want to follow you, Jesus. I really want to give my life to you. I want to trust you completely. And you put yourself on the altar in the morning, but by the second cup of coffee, you're back to life. You know, quote unquote, real life. The one that you're trying to control in your own effort. The one you're trying to do on your own, in your own terms. This is not a one-time death. It's a journey of dying to ourselves, which is paradoxically the art of truly living. Anyone who would try to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But anybody who will lose your life, who will give it away to me, who will entrust yourself to me, you will find it. Part of the challenge of being a preacher, of sharing God's word, is that I have to tell you things like this, and I can't explain it. I can't explain to you what it means to say, if you want to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it, but if you're willing to give your life up, you're going to gain it. I can't explain that to you. I can only tell you, based on my personal experience, that it's true. I can only tell you that as you choose it, it gets easier to choose it, and the more life you will experience. As you open your clenched fists and give what it is you're holding on to over to God, you're going to find that it's safe in his keeping. You really can trust God with your dreams. You can trust God with your hopes for the future. You can trust God with your skills, with your talents, with your resources. You can trust God with your marriage. You can trust God with your kids. You can trust God with all those things that you have felt, have been holding on to so tightly because you are pretty sure that if you lose them, you will lose everything. You will lose yourself. He is trustworthy with all those things. He is trustworthy with all those things, and he's inviting you either for the first time or for the millionth time to trust him again this morning. Making this choice is always hard, especially the first time you do it. But it gets easier with practice. It gets easier with every day that you get up in the morning and you follow. I heard a pastor recently explain that he, being a really hard-charging person who really is all about accomplishing things, and he's pretty well known for being such a person, he's kind of famous this way, he said that he's begun a practice that every morning he's figured out how to, instead of sitting up, when he wakes up in the morning, he doesn't sit up and sweep his feet onto the floor and then stand. Instead, he sort of rolls over, slides out of the bed onto his knees. And he says, I do that. That's been my practice every morning, to sort of just slide my legs out and slide down onto my knees so that I'm kneeling at the bedside. And I may not stay there long. It may not be very long before I get up and start going after my day, but he says, but I'm going to start there just to remind myself that today I'm entrusting myself to Jesus. And so this morning I want to give you an opportunity to reflect now. Hopefully I've spent enough time this morning talking around this idea that you're ready to actually do it, to actually make a choice. So I want to invite you now to close your eyes. I want to invite you to close your eyes and put your hands in clenched fists in front of you. I want to invite you to let the Holy Spirit rewind your week. Let the Holy Spirit bring things to your mind and to your heart that have happened this week. Places where you felt afraid, frustrated, angry, or threatened. Places where you found yourself maybe even literally clenching your fists, holding on to something because you were so afraid of losing it. Maybe it's something silly like a to-do list. Maybe it's something really important that you are so afraid that it might go away forever. If you are ready, if you are willing, I invite you to open your hands and see that thing. See it in your hands. And in the silence of your heart, simply say, God, I give this to you. I give this to you. Notice now that your hands are empty. Notice, perhaps, that you feel lighter, that you feel a sense of relief. And notice also that God is merciful And he isn't going to leave you empty-handed. He's not going to take that away from you and leave you lost and alone. He's going to put something in your hand. Maybe you see it. Maybe you can really see something that he's placing there. And if not, I invite you to just imagine that as lightness, as light, as warmth, and as love. Jesus is inviting you to release what you're holding on to this week. Give it to him, and he's replacing it with his love. That thing that you've been holding on to that you thought gave you so much security, Jesus replaces it with his love and his claim on you. What you were holding on to that made you feel powerful or important or successful, you can rest in his power and his strength and how he values you. Whatever you were holding on to that you said, this is what makes me a good person, be set free from trying to be good. Jesus says to you this morning, you don't actually have to be good because you're mine, and that is plenty. How do you feel right now? Knowing that you can trust Jesus with what you've given to him. It's safe with him, and you are safe with him. Amen. Perhaps you'll need to do this exercise again today. Maybe you'll need to do it several times this week. Maybe it was just really hard to do this today. Maybe you're not ready. And I want you to hear from Jesus. He respects that. When Jesus calls us to make a choice, he respects us enough to let us make it. If you aren't ready to make it yet, he honors that. And he's always ready when you are.